Christ, our Lord. Oh, just forget about everything and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate. Your hands, so let's lift up holy hands. Oh, just magnify His name this morning.
See one with us this morning. Looks like we may have a visitor back here in the corner. All right. Glad you came. We got a few requests we'll go over. Remember?
Julie.
Okay, Julie. Glad you came, Julie. Just remember the ones that we pray for on a regular basis. Remember also today, after the second service, the ladies will be meeting about their trip coming up when same time the men are going on our trip. So just remember that. After the second service, ladies need to meet. Okay? Try to get some of these out of the way. Still remember the ones we're praying for that's got cancer, that we remember them. Okay, we'll read these. It says, this is Sister Frida. This is another one we need to remember. Remember her son, Stephen. In prayer, he's got his first radiation treatment coming up Monday and his first chemo treatment on Wednesday. Please pray for his soul most of all. So remember that. But keep him on your mind. Brother Donnie gave me one, says a friend, Tom, is that Brown? Tom Brown needs salvation and healing. So remember that. Let's see, Sister Milka gave me one, or sent one, it says, thanks to Lord and the church for helping me raise two adults. Continue praying for them. So thank the Lord for that. Like I said, she's watching in, and I don't know if she's just trying to, if it's reverse psychology and they're trying to acting up or whatever, but I'm telling you, I got one for Michael and one for Benjamin. So if they act up anymore, you let me know. So I don't know if that's either good or bad. I don't know if they're being good and she's just admitting it, or if they've been bad and she's trying to talk herself into it, one way or the other. Also, we have a sister that is sent a couple times that she miscarried. Remember the one I talked to about Wednesday? She's real nervous and can't get pregnant again. She miscarried and she's kind of worried on that. So remember that one. Brother Darty gave me one, says, I want to thank the church for all the prayers. My first eye surgery went well. So we thank the Lord for that. The eye pressure in his right eye is back to normal. However, the surgery for his left eye has been rescheduled for March the 3rd. So we thank the Lord for that. But keep him in your prayers. It's the only ones I have. I know there's a bunch of people traveling. Brother Louise, Brother Bob, Brother Boyd sent one this morning. They're traveling. I'm sure there's other people traveling. Just be with them. Times are kind of wishy-washy around with the weather and everything. So remember that. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. We have mentioned here, Lord, many are traveling from the church. Lord, just continue to bless them. Keep them safe on the highways. Lord, there's many sick that we're asking prayer for, Lord. Whoever the and whatever the needs may be, Lord, you come down and bless them. Be with them and guide them. Be with the unspoken request. Be with Dad. Give him strength, Lord. Lord, and give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Forgive us for all of our sin, Lord, and we love you for your many blessings and what you've done for us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Only believe. All things are possible.
What an over come in power he gives us this morning. Hallelujah. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and take up the tithes and offering for us? Let's just sing that chorus in KFC, Spread Your Wings, as Brother Colley comes for Bible reading. Let's all stand this morning.
So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly.
Blessing to be back in the house of the Lord again. And just pray that we're not meeting here, but that we brought him here with us in our hearts. So we just pray that he would guide us. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 85. And they're talking to a sister. She says, well, Satan always bothered me, taking my time up. But, the scripture says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So don't listen to him. When he comes to you, just turn him down. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we are thankful for this opportunity that you've given out to us to come together to worship. Father, we pray that our hearts and spirits, we yield unto you that the words that we would hear this morning, Lord, that they will bless us, strengthen us, and give us strength and encouragement and leadership each day of our life. Lord, for we have so many things that come against us, but just don't let Satan take us down. Lord, let us just reach up and be blessed of you. God, and guide this place this morning. Bless everyone that is present, whatever they have need of, Father. Let us speak it unto you and be yielded. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been faithful unto the land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob.
Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins.
Thou hast taken away all the wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger.
Turn us, O God, our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease.
Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw out thine anger to all generations?
Will thou not resign us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?
Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation.
I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people, and to his saints, but let him not turn again to folly.
Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land.
Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace are against each other.
Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield an increase.
Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Amen. God bless you. May be seated.
So happy for the mercy and truth of our Lord this morning. What would we do and where would we be without the truth? Hallelujah. If you have your spiral songbook, let's turn to page 94 this morning. How many is looking for that meeting in the air this morning? Such an expectation we have in this age as we see so many things being fulfilled around us. The scripture says, look up, for your redemption is nigh. Oh, you have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. Jonah and the well you often seen. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by nor or ear, to be glorious I do declare. God's own son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Many things will there be missing in that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a servant priest to sinners, for the sinner had refused to heed the call. Oh, there will be no murmuring over wayward loved ones. You happy for that? No only nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting. And oh, what a meeting that will be. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I'm going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. He'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's own son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Listen to this. There the doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent on that day. There'll be no grumblers present to disturb us. And the Ankins will be busy far away. Oh, there the saints will have his seal upon their forehead.
head, dressed in raiment none but ransom ones will wear. All who wedding garments, oh, that's talking about us this morning at that meeting.
What a time that would be. Amen. I miss Brother Jewel singing that song, What a Time. We can see it by revelation this morning. Let's sing one more before our brother comes out this morning. Let's turn to page 693 in the Spiral Songbook. You know, the prophet said, as the word come forth, as you receive it, you become it. And that just takes surrender into it. So the more we hear the word, the more we should surrender to our husband. Amen. Let's just start off with a chorus there. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. Oh, the more my cares, Lord, the more
burdens I had on yesterday are a stepping stone to a higher place. The trials that seemed so awesome to me are now my banner of victory, and I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, it's the more that we can surrender, Lord, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load, the more that I release my cares, the more he takes control. As we just sing it once more to him. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. Yes, the more that I release my cares, the more he takes control. And the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up, and every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Let's stand as we sing it once more. Oh, the more that I surrender, oh, the lighter my load, the more
aren't you glad you serve a living God that cares for you? All he wants is just the full preeminence in our lives. Amen. And we're here to give it to him. Let's change the order of the service as our brother comes this morning. Open the eyes of my heart. That never gets old to me, because that's always should be our desire, is for the heart to be open to what the Lord has for us. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Holy, holy,
see him, don't you? You know, the hour's fast closing out. Everything's moving in the right direction. So we're looking forward to his coming because it's got to be in there somewhere. It's not a time. It's you know, we don't look for a date or a time, but we know it will happen because he promised it to us. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to have our visitor back there with us. You know, a couple of visitors maybe. And we always say to you, welcome when you come one time here, but when you come back, you're just part of us. So just make yourself to home. Amen. Just pray one for another. You heard all the requests. We got a report that Brother Homer Longoria, that they had to take him to the emergency room or to the hospital last night. He's not doing too good. I talked to him over there a few days ago, and he said he was just having a lot of problems. Things are just bothering him and the whole, you know, and then talked to Brother Altig, and he said he's still having problems with just a weakness that he can't, you know, he can't just keep on going. He'd walk a little bit and everything else. But just remember these. Brother Homer's, a lot of his is things that he's had. He's got some kind of a cyst that they're dealing with and things and a lot of things in his life. That's, he's got that, what do you call it, COPD or something and all of that. So just keep Brother Homer in your mind and pray that the Lord would bless. Amen. So it's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Hebrews 10:5, and then we'll go to Ephesians. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that there is a time and an opportunity that we can bow our humble heads and call out to a living God. We can remember these that are sick. We can pray for them and ask you to come on the scene and deliver each one. Father, we believe you. We know that by your stripes, Brother Homer's healed, Brother Altig, these brothers and the sisters and things around the country that has got this old virus dealing and problems with it. We pray that you would just come on the scene and fulfill your word, because you said you would always be with us. You never let things come on us that we would not be able to stand. So we believe you and we thank you. As we read your word, you come to the point, Lord, to reveal yourself and make us to be to the point that we want to more just know about you is our desire. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, and bless each one. Guide each and every one. Lead the sick. Have your way in your love. We know it's one of your attributes to display a healer, so we don't have to worry about asking and wondering if it can be done. We know it is already finished. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews, we've been on this for a little while, and I don't know how much more we'll stay, but we'll go to verse 3 of Hebrews 10. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance, you know, the law of the shadows and the things. Again, made of sins every year. All right, see, it just keeps piling up. It's no good. All right. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. A way for a redeemer to be made manifest and come forth was made possible in the Lord Jesus. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 5. What do we got? 10, 22. All right. Let's go verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. Let's just stop there because we know what it's dealing with. Because we're talking about and want to talk today a little bit about the body and things. And we know that Paul was using the wife and the husband as a type of Christ in the church. Because that's what we want to deal with today. We want to talk about the body and dealing with it and knowing that there had to be an atonement made. So as it was, then Jesus Christ, the human body, came into existence to pay the price. All right. So then that's not all of it either, because see, God can't be without a body. And once he unites or brings himself forth into a position or situation or character or attribute or whatever words you want to use, once he comes to that place, he cannot back up. It'll always be there. Because even when we get there, it won't do away, because we're going to see the nail prints in his hand. Now, that's something, isn't it? To where that we'll know all about it. Okay. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And that's what I want to do. I want us to think on the body. Because God cannot be without a body. Now, when he was back before the foundation of the world and dealing with that and coming down, he had a body. He lived in a body, but that body was not a human element, 16 elements as we call it, not a human body. It was a body. It was a place that he lived. He dwelt there. And I believe that he was, you know, in what we would call to come on later, picking up the word theophany or something like that to try to express it. But to me, it's the best way to express it is just to think about it a little bit, because he had to come forth to be able to make the atonement. All right. And pay the price and to do that. And see, then we've been through studying about Adam and how that God made him and things happened back there. And then see, we dwelt a long time. Sometimes I want to just sit down and, maybe it would be good to just say it like this, and I will because I think about it that a lot. It's just sit down and put step one, step two, step three, four, five, and come through the Bible and to see the natural things that have taken place. You know, the atonements, the things, the crucifixions, the things like that, that were natural things to transpire that God had in his mind, as Wade was bringing out there the other night, no, Wednesday, you know, of being in his mind. And in that part, then, you know, you can see that he had these things in his mind, but then he would bring it forth into a natural thing. And then you can read the Bible. I see the problem with people trying to read the Bible is they're trying to figure out what it's saying. Now, that may be an odd way of doing what I approach it, but I always approach everything kind of odd anyway. But, you know, we're not supposed to try to figure out the Bible. We're supposed to read it, believe it, study it, thank God for it, and just let it be there with us all the way through. And it's not something that we do, but there is a natural story. I was thinking a lot about this recently. The Bible has a natural story. Natural things. If you'd read it like that and read that here is this and here is this and here is this and here comes Adam and here comes Eve and here comes, those were things that were natural happenings. And it came all the way through that you had a David, you had all of the things, you had a Goliath, you had a killing and all like that. You had, those were natural things. All right. And see, pointing on down, and then finally here would come Jesus Christ into the world in a human form as a natural person. You know, a human being. He just wouldn't come in there and then just stand up and, you know, and well, it couldn't be touched or whatever. No, he had that story about him. Huh? It's a natural, there's a natural story to the Bible. And when you're reading it, if you just read it and say, well, you know, this took place. This happened. Here's where David come in, and look what he done, and look what happened, and look like the things that he done, and all like that. And look at Abraham, a friend of God. Look at all of the things that took place in the time as what we call the Bible, as it's being made, being written or brought into being, you know. And see, it didn't end when Jesus Christ came. That was the fulfillment of it, to bring it into being to where we could see more our day. Well, what I think about is what we've talked about in the past few services on back about, you know, we talk about the woman in the White House. Well, we're living in a day, and I tried to explain it then, we're living in a day when literally the Bible is still being written. You realize by that being prophesied by the prophet that there'd come that time, then that would have to take place because it's the Word of God. And then being in having to take place, see, then it would be something natural. All right? Something natural would have to take place. There would have to be a time that there'd be a lady in the White House. Well, all right, then that puts us living exactly the Word of God as it's being written. It's still being written. Every time a born-again believer comes into the body of Christ, you realize that you're doing the scripture Wade was using the other day, in continuance with my members fashion when, yeah, back there, you know, and each one coming forth. And as each person comes into the body of Christ, except in Jesus Christ, that's part of the Bible being fulfilled. Why don't you think of yourself like that? We're living in a time when it is being made manifest. It's not just talking about it. We read about it. We talked about the woman in the White House. We laughed at that it couldn't be a pretty Hillary because she was too ugly. And we done all the natural things. But you know what? It's reality. Read the Bible like a book that's being written now. See, when you come into the body of Christ, that puts your name in the book. Right? See? Just trying to get you to think about something because, you know, that's the way it is. See, God can't. He doesn't exist, or the word can't, to a lot of people, knocks them in the head, and they think, well, you're saying that God can't do this. No, God won't do it. All right? God exists in a situation to where that he can manifest himself any way he wants to, but yet he can't come no other way than what the Word says. So if we see our day, well, our day's in the Word. It's written, see, what's taking place today is in the Word, yes. All right? See, then, we can look forward. Peggy was asking me some questions the other day about the tribulation and the pre-tribulations and the things, you know, and we just begin to talk about things that could be expected. See, we're not in a tribulation. Don't think that. If we're in the tribulation, we done missed the rapture. But just remember, like I've always tried to tell you, see, we look at things and we see something and we try to figure it out. Well, I've just always just been natural in my thinking. And if you'll be natural in the reading of the Bible, then it can be made manifest or known what it's talking about. Because, see, you'd come through the Bible. I'm hung on this, so I'm going to get it out of the way. You've got the creation of the world. And then you got Adam and Eve created. Well, see, that's not an addition to the Bible, but it is one thing for certain. Adam and Eve came forth into a physical manifestation. You know, alive. They became alive. All right? See, then they can be alive and we can go through a lot of the other advice. But now, here's my point. The God back before the world, he was Elohim, the self-existing. The great I Am, the great Jehovah God. And he wanted to dwell with his people. He was lonely. He wanted to dwell with his people. All right. So he began to bring forth his thoughts. He began to bring forth his manifestations and bring it into being. All right. And here, as those things are brought into being, we can see how he unfolds himself and coming down to where we're living. So God has never been to the basis that he didn't have a body. Now here's, we're going to start with that just a little bit and try to get on it. But he's never been to a place that he didn't have a body. It may not have been a 16 element. You know, he may have existed in a theophany, but the prophet called that a body. He may have existed in other forms, but the thing about it was he existed. He had a body. But that was not the way that he wanted it. So he turned it around and began to manifest it the way that he wanted it. And as I was going to say about Adam and Eve, you see a natural story over here, but then here comes a spiritual happening. Then you start thinking about Adam and Eve, and you start thinking about the times and the creation and what it was, and you begin to see how they lived and see how that we can live and how our being. All right, get the point now. See, God has always had a body. All right, but never had it like he wanted it, because he could not make manifest all of his attributes. Right? Until he come forth into a manifestation and say the healer, the deliverer, the savior, the attributes and the things that God would bring forth, you know, and make manifest in life. Right? And see, as he's doing that, he's writing the Bible so that we later could be able to read that and see that there was a living reality back there. Like I said, God had a body. He had a way of living. He lived in a form back there before that he ever started creating anything. I don't think he was just a wind blowing and just floating around and just something like that. No, uh-uh. The prophet said he's a being. So he's not like the wind. He said, well, at one time he was like, no, he never was a time that God was not real. That's where we try to figure out. There's where we read the story, then we try to comprehend the story without going to a spiritual revelation to understand what's going on. We go into the point of trying to figure it out ourselves. But you see, he's always had a way of living. It wasn't that he was non-existent, then he come into existence. I've never believed nothing like that. Because if he ever was God, he still is God. Now we know we use the word God. Okay, see, we're so smart. We use the word, well, he wasn't God. God is an object of worship. See, you're getting into those, as I said a moment ago, trying to figure things out. When Brother Branham would say God, well, he's not God. See, we're so smart. But Brother Branham had a way of preaching. He said God was the self-existing. God was the great Elohim. God was the, he didn't have no problem using the word God. But yet we're actually correcting him in the basis of us saying, well, but God's not God until he created something. All right, the prophet said the first thing he created was angels. And he said that made him God, so they worshiped him. All right. But if you think about the children of God, the children of God existed before the angels. So now you got two creations. That's what I'm telling you. We try to figure things out instead of just accepting it like it is and read it, the Bible, the message, the thing, read it and let God then come on the scene in that and reveal himself through that to me and you. Because that's what we're here for. He created us for a purpose. Then he began his own part of bringing his own self into being where we could see something tangible. See something real. All right. See, that's why I said don't ever think that it was a time that God didn't exist. Well, how did he exist? He existed the way he needed to be or was. You say, you mean to tell me that you think that God one time existed? I do. What do you think? Where did he come from and what is your thoughts? I believe that back before the foundation of the world and all like that, that God was there. More real than you and me are now. But he was existing alone. He had the attributes within him, right? And he wanted to display them and, you know, to bring them out. That was great. But he existed alone. But yet he did exist. And he had a body to live in back there. But not the kind of body that he wanted to do. All right? See, even Adam and Eve in the way that they done and sinned, he didn't want that sinful body. But yet it was placed in there. All right? But see, one day, something happened. Now, here's my point that all that's to say one thing. When I read in Hebrews 10:5 there, and it says, a body hast thou prepared me. God provided his own body. Adam and Eve didn't create him a body. Mary never created him a body. We can't create him a body. But yet if we go along with the story of what we're looking at and see how he come into manifestation, you can see that still he is here now in his body, and this is the body that he wanted to have here. Well, I just have problems with this old flesh. My brother Richard Wilson him used to like because some of us would say it the way he said, y'all said old flush. Flush, the flesh, you know. But think about it. What I'm trying to get a point to you is one thing. Don't think God had a beginning. He never had a beginning. He always was God. All right? Now, don't think that there was a time that he didn't exist in a body. He existed in a bodily form back there, but a bodily form that's different from this form. You can call it a theophany. You can call it those things, you know. The one I like is to get into those words like that and look up logos and find out the word logos means speech. That's a thrill to me to know that that word is speech. All right? God was real. That's my whole point. I was trying to get a little statement in right here. Then we'll start reading something. God is real. He never existed to where that he was not real. He was real. Right? See, then he was not satisfied to stay in that position or situation or whatever you want to call it. He didn't want to stay that away. He had his thoughts. He created angels. He had a lot of things that he created. Right? But yet he wasn't happy. He was living there in a body, but he wasn't satisfied in that form. He wanted to be kinfolks. You know what? See, everybody now wants to try to find out who their ancestors are. You know. I mean, I get tickled at all that. You don't want to find out who they are, and when they find out who they are, they want to deny them. But, you know. But think about it. God wanted to make himself tangible. He could live in an existing situation with us. He did with Adam and Eve in the garden. He come down in the cool of the day. So then he had a body in the garden when he walked with them. But he wasn't satisfied. See, that shows my point of what I'm talking about, that God always existed in a body. God always had some form or bodily form, but the difference is in the elements and the different things. See, while he was there in the garden with Adam and Eve, he was not in a 16-element physical body. But yet he was real. Yet they could talk to him. He could fellowship with him. So the body he had back there was a wonderful situation, but it was not what he wanted to stay. He didn't want to stay to the basis that he just had Adam and Eve to the point like that and he could come down every day. It was all coming forth to what he wanted. He wanted a family. He wanted people. He wanted somebody to love him. The angels, they were created. They could worship him. But that was still not what he wanted. They said Adam and Eve, they could do this, that, and the other and worship God. But that wasn't still wasn't it. He had to allow sin to enter the picture. Right? He had to allow sin to enter the picture to where he could come forth and manifest himself in the way he wanted. Isn't that odd? He had to permit sin to enter the picture to bring forth the body that he wanted us to be in. He doesn't want us today just being a theophany floating around or this, that, or the other. We're not supposed to be that. We're human beings. We're the children of God. Huh? But think about it. God has always had some form, whatever, that you could call a body. But then he makes emphasis and shows us that a body hast thou provided me. God made a body through the virgin birth, through the, not a creating, remember how we kept bringing those things out? Adam and Eve created full grown. Not create a baby and then grow up. But Jesus was begotten and he started life as a baby. But you know what? There was Jehovah laying in a cradle. There was the body that he wanted. Now he would have to wait and let that body grow up, let that age come on it, let the things happen. And it looks like that he ought to just wipe this off and wipe that off and made the whole thing come out right. No, that wouldn't have been what he wanted. Now, I want you to think with me on something that the way that here this old human mind thinks. You know, there's no other way. Now listen, there's no other way this thing could have happened than the way it happened. Now let that, just let that thought run through your mind. If there was any other way of doing it, he would have done it that way. So even sin entering the picture, as I've always said, try to quote to you that Brother Brown said, God did not curse Eve and Adam. How could he curse them when he'd already put eternal life in their soul? That's why I emphasize that so much. He put that eternal life. He couldn't curse them. Brother Run said he can't curse you. He said you got eternal life. That's a wonderful situation. But see what I'm talking about, the scripture says a body thou hast provided. It finally came after a 4,000 year period. It came to a being that would be the one that would be the body like he wanted. So he brought into being a body that he could come and dwell in. Now it had to wait a while for all the things to made manifest. I tried to preach that to you where that like the River Jordans and the things like that. Sure, those things are great. He wasn't the great eternal Elohim self-existing almighty God in manifestation on the River Jordan. He was a human being. Well, God was dwelling in there. That was the Elohim, the self-existing, the almighty, the all thing, was dwelling in that body. See, I'm trying to preach the Godhead, if you understand what I've been trying to do. To understand that he's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And without those three attributes, he's not real. All right. See, then he comes down and he brings into being the body that he desired. That body that was Hebrews 10:5 that's speaking of. That a body thou hast provided for me. That was God's plan and purpose. He was going to make that body, bring it into being. So he's always had a body. It's just the way we use the terms and the thoughts. We think, well, no, he was just back there. He just floating around. He was just, he just wasn't. Whatever he was back there is more real than we are now. Right? See, to think about now, the body that thou hast provided. God provided a body, and that body was the Lord Jesus Christ. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in that body. And that body was not eternal because it had a beginning. All right? One day he was crucified. Went to the grave, all the things. But when he come forth from there and ascended on high, there is when he reached his position of a body. Because there it was all made eternal. See, that's the point I'm trying to get. If you don't forget anything, get out of the message today, you get one thing. God has a plan and purpose for you. I'll give you the quote where the prophet was talking about it in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said he couldn't do it in the days of Luther. Said he couldn't do it in the days of Wesley. Said he couldn't do it in the days of the Pentecostal. Couldn't do what? Couldn't bring forth the way he wanted. See, you and I, when we walk off of this earth in a glorified condition, then the body of God will be in reality. Oh, that just runs all the way that away and goes all the way that away. But see, a body hast thou provided for me. That's what Jesus was saying. Was he speaking to another person? Was he trying to figure it out with a second or third person, what to do or whatever? Now that's where we have to take the story and let the prophet explain. Because we can't do it. As I said, we try to make these things. We can't do it. That's what I'm talking about, the Bible. Read the Bible. Naturally, just read it naturally. And you'll see the most marvelous, beautiful picture that starts out there in Genesis and it begins to unfold. And all of these people that have lived and been part of God's plan, they're just making it manifest. You and I are making it manifest now. See, we've got to be to the basis that we've got to have the change of these bodies because it won't fit this way. All right? Well, that's fine. We just have a change of the body. But the thing about it is we've got to first get to the point that we can realize and believe that we are the body of Christ. Come on, church. Wake up to one point. We Baptists taught that the bride, we didn't know the word the bride, we called it the church. But we taught that Christ would come and live in a person, and once that would be finished, then we would all go to a glorified state somewhere in a glory land. Oh, happy hunting ground to the Indian or whatever it was. We taught those things. We talked about a change. See, then when I read it where it says, the body thou hast provided me, I see God provided a fleshly human element, a body that we call Jesus. Right? He created that and brought it into being. That was the body that he wanted. But yet we had already messed up the story. The picture was already in bad shape, you know, the cow up in the tree and all this, that, and the other. We done had everything messed up because we tried to figure it out ourselves. If you understand what I'm talking about, start reading in Genesis and then just let your mind float and just go from Genesis and the things that's happening and then jump over to Abraham. About 12, 13, 14. Getting on into there. You see a spiritual thing taking place. You see something that is marvelously happening that the Word of God has told you the literal things. It ain't going to put us in the rapture for the White House to be full of women. I mean, I don't care if they get a half a dozen presidents and what they do. I'm not against none of that. I have no problems. But I know one thing for certain, that's not going to put me in the rapture. But when I come to the place that I finally come to the situation that there's a reality of revelation into my heart that I am God's body. Now come on, Jesus is not here. If he was here, he couldn't be here in a physical body. Right? Is that the way the prophet explains it? You know, he said, these people saying they got blood running out. And he said, no, I said, if you'd done that, said you'd have Jesus in the literal. And he said, you can't do that. But you just think about, we are the body of Christ. I can take this, here's the book, here's what I'm talking about, reading this and coming through it. Take this and read what the prophet had to say about how Jesus came and what he was, that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In a human flesh. Called a Son of God. I thought we were his children. Then we would be the sons and daughters of a living God. As Paul was doing to them on Mars Hill, he said, some of your poets have said, we are his offspring. We are the children of God. We are the people. It couldn't happen in the days of Luther. They never had the revelation correct about the change of different things. Because like I said, we could talk about these things in the Baptist and all, but we still couldn't see it because we couldn't get the Godhead straight. We couldn't get the rest of the Word straight. But we have no excuse now. We have the prophet's message. We have no excuse to say, I can't understand. Oh, it's just a mystery to me about God. What is a mystery? A mystery is something that is withholding until a revelation comes. But when the revelation comes, it's not a mystery anymore. See, a body. Jesus came to a position there that he lived in a human body. He growed up. He became the sacrifice. And looked like he was destroying the thing that he came to do. Because he just gave his life. Because now listen to what I'm saying. He gave his life so the next stage of the story would be correct. That it could be that a body thou hast provided me. Jesus was that human body, right? In him was the whole reconciling the world, all the things. God was in Christ doing those things. But when he died and resurrected, he's not here in a physical form. He's not here in a corporal body, right? But he has a body. Who is it? We are his body. We've always taught that. When are we going to believe it? We've always talked about the body of Christ. Preached about it, taught about it, sung about it, wrote songs, great things. Just about the body of Christ. Because when it happened there, what would have took place had he went back up and didn't have a body? So he went up and a few days later he came back. He came back to a body called the church, the bride of Christ. He wasn't left without a body. And he says about this body that the greater things that we could do than what he done. And we argue about what that means. Instead of reading what the prophet says about it and knowing what it means. We know he's saying that it was in many members over here, whereas the Lord Jesus was just one. But you see, church, we talk about the body. We talk about what it is. But we are his body. And the way I think of it is like this. I think of it in one way, because here is my point. We come to a day in time. We can say, well, this could mean this, and this could mean that. And my brother, you want to go talk to him? He'll say it like this. He'll say, well, there was virgins all over the world. But there's many virgin girls had babies. I said, you just lied. And he's a 14-year theologian in a Methodist seminary. I said, you just lied. I said, because that can't be. Well, you know, we had neighbors down there that had babies and never had no husband. I said, they lied. I said, that ain't the point. The point is the virgin birth is for the one Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have a spiritual birth that brings us into a virgin condition existence. The born-again believer. He just stepped out of that body. You say, well, people would say, you know, well, if Jesus was God, how could he die? He didn't die, Jesus. Right. Jesus would be the God when you're using it. But then it turns right back around and saying that Jesus is the body. See, it's according to what you're talking about. See, I don't have to look in a mirror to try to figure out or go in the bathroom, you know, and look up, well, who am I praying to today? Well, I got a picture here. I got a picture here. I got one of Brother Branham over here. We'll try that out in a while. You say you're joking. You're crazy. No, I ain't. Because that's what we do. But listen, church. The Lord Jesus Christ was the body of God. It was the situation coming to existence that God could live with man. God could come down and live with man. That he could dwell with us. And he could call us his children. See, he never left then without a body, because quick as that body left and exited out and went up in the resurrection, a few days later, here he comes back. Amen. Into the body. Now, I'm going to say this, so I want you to listen. See, on the day of Pentecost, come into reality the body, as well as what the Bible said, a body thou hast prepared me. Because on the day of Pentecost, a bride came forth. A church, a bride, came forth to be the people of God, to be his children, to be his offspring, to be his body that he could live in. So he wasn't left without a body. You are his body. See? When are we going to realize that and think about us as being reality and real, as I said a minute ago, and seeing things in our day that we can say, the prophet stood and told us these things. Oh, you can argue whatever. He said it like this one time. He said in 50-something, he said, Russia's got jet airplanes. We knew that because, you know, when they divided, what was it, Berlin or whatever, they got so many of the scientists, we got so many of the scientists, and they were smart. The Russians got a lot of those things. But he said they had flying saucers. Right? What about your prophet talking about flying saucers? Oh, they're just a figment of your imagination. He talked about it. You know what that was to me? Writing of the Bible. But then here one day comes forth a statement that a woman will be in the White House. Oh, can't be done. That was back before the, what is that word, suffrage, which means that women's right to vote. I wonder how many of you women think about what Brother Branham said. And I'm not against this, that, or the other. I don't vote. I don't fool with none of that. I just try to preach to get you to see who you are. Brother Brown said the worst mistake that was ever made was giving the woman the right to vote. Now, how many of you women thinking about that? I don't like that. I don't. He could have said it some other way. Well, if I was a woman, then I just wouldn't fool going down and register to vote. But that's my privilege. That's silly, too. You say, are you against women voting? No, they ain't got no problem. I got one thing for sure. By the women voting came to pass what the prophet said. Oh, if the women had not had the right to vote, there would have never been a woman in the White House. So the prophet would have been wrong when he said a woman in the White House. Do you get what I'm talking about? See, by giving the right to the women to vote, they brought in all of the things. That's not being against it. I don't even vote myself. That's what I'm saying. That's your privilege. I ain't saying for nobody not to vote or to vote or whatever to do. I'm trying to preach something to get us to see who we are. Now, wouldn't it be a shame for somebody to come up and here I've been pastoring a church now for 40 years and here they come up with something and try to give me a special deal. Let me run for president because I've been pastoring. That's a disgrace. You're asking me to run for president? Well, Brother Dale, you could get things straightened out. No, we know better than that in office. Ever, you know, George Washington, ever office. We done heard the prophet, right? So there wouldn't be no need of it. My point is one thing. It would be a disgrace for me to step down out of the pulpit to go and be president of the United States. I would not be fulfilling the Bible that I'm trying my best to find and to walk therein. You see, then I can turn over here and say, hey, this is happening. These things are happening. We're seeing the earthquakes and we're seeing the thing. We're seeing the plagues. We're seeing all of the things. But are we seeing it in the order of understanding? Are we trying to keep it in or just not? The prophet taught that the bride does not go through the tribulation. But he taught that it could be a pre-tribulation. You don't hear that one used. A pre-tribulation. Oh, bless God, one of these days California is going to slide under because there's going to be an earthquake. Which one? You better not be here when that sixth seal earthquake takes place. You better get out of here before the sixth seal. Sixth seal earthquake is going to take California under. But what about a pre-tribulation? He said we'd be at the mercy of the elements in a different thing. But we're not going to be in the tribulation. Well, that's tribulation. That sounds like a tribulation to me. No, it's not. Because tribulation is a wrath of God. Just get that right in your mind. What is tribulation? Wrath of God. So you can see there can be a California earthquake. I've tried to preach this 40 years ago. There could be a California earthquake. Then there could be another California earthquake. There could be two of them taking place. And that last earthquake is going to be when the sixth seal opens. We better not be here when that seal breaks in the natural. It's already broken the spiritual for us to understand. We better not be here when it does in the natural. We better start listening. All right. But do you get what I'm talking about? God wanted a body, so he created a human element body. And we call his name Jesus. Well, that's the only name that God ever had is Jesus. All right? And see, then he went through what he was supposed to go through to pay the price, to do all the things, to make the sacrifice, etc. And then he left this world. Where's his body? Just a few days later, here he come back right into his bride. And made her his body. We are his offspring. We are his children. He's got a body to live in now. That's why it doesn't bother me. I'm human. I know and I exist with all of us being humans, but it doesn't bother me about all of this of the viruses and stuff like that. Well, I'm a human being. It does in that human being side. But yet I know that he's going to take care of me. Well, that's why I didn't jump up and down when all of them were saying it, you know, that if you had the viruses, then you wouldn't have God. You wouldn't have part of the body of Christ. I'll show that to them in the Word. You realize what they were saying? They were saying that the Lord Jesus Christ had a virus because he was sick. You don't listen to what people say and then analyze what they say. Jesus Christ was sick. Then are you going to say that because of him being sick, he was not of God? Brother Branham was sick. Stomach viruses, all kind of things. All kind of situations. But did it mean he wasn't of God? No, it was more the fact that he was of God. He said, well, you've had the virus, Brother Dale. Yeah, I know it. That's what they say. I don't know nothing about it. I stayed 5 days in the hospital for them to run me through. They come in there one day and said, go on home. I don't know what they was doing. I didn't see nobody. I didn't get no weather reports. I didn't have nobody telling me what was going on. The kids had called. Peggy had called. We was doing the best we could do to communicate. But I wasn't worried. Because I believe God is real. And if I am a child of God, then I am the body that God is inhabiting. Do you think that way? You need to. I got notes here. If you want them, have that Jesus was the body of God. That in body he was a man. In spirit he was God. How many of you want us to read? We've read them over and over to you. Jesus was the body of God. How many of you want to read? Only 31 or 32. Jesus was the flesh of God, a tabernacle that God dwelt in here on the earth. Can you see one God? You realize without that person now of Jesus Christ, the human element, your Godhead is not complete. Because you only got a Father and a Holy Spirit. And that's what we had. Right? Come on. I admit where I come from because that was the way I saw it. When Brother Moore asked me what I saw, I told him I said I saw God in three persons. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, you're just as much a Trinity as anybody else. I said, explain that. He said, a person, a personality. Personality is an individual. An individual is a person. I said, okay, I don't believe that no more. It didn't take a whole lot for me to figure that out. I knew I was wrong. See, because all we was dealing with back there was a spirit and a soul or something like that. Our fathers and spirit. But to understand one God, you've got to have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See? So that means when he left, he was coming back as the Holy Spirit. Am I right? Are you listening? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came back. The Spirit of Almighty God. Not a second person, not another thought or idea, but the Spirit of Almighty God was coming back to live in a people that would make them the children of God. God would have a body. But you see, that's why Jesus can't come, Brother Brown said. He said he, when he comes back, said it'd be the millennium. Because you think about it. What if he come back right now? and mess up every scripture in the Bible, because he'd be here in a body. And he's already got a body. We're his body. See, if he come right now, there'd be two bodies. That won't work. He said, well, aren't you expecting? No, I'm expecting him to meet him in the air. Come on, let's get with the prophet. He said, he doesn't come to earth and set his foot on earth at that time. He said, we meet him in the air. He can't come down now to a body because we are the body. Listen, back there you had Father, you had Holy Spirit. Now I'm trying to make an illustration out of this, so don't run it off from the wrong end because you're going to bypass my whole point. Before the foundation of the world, he was Father. Right? He was the Spirit. But he didn't have a 16-element body. But he had a body, a theophany, a glorified condition, existence, whatever. But see, that was not his plan. Are you listening? If you didn't get the whole point, just listen. I'm trying now. I've read the book over to so far. Now I'm trying to just put the little pieces into it. Because you see, when he came back on the day of Pentecost, it was not a flesh body coming to live in you and I. That's right. So what did it take to make him complete? It took a time that he would have a human body. Did he dwell on earth in a flesh? 16 elements. That would make his plan complete. Read Christ, the mystery of God revealed. God had a plan and a purpose that he was going to achieve. And that was to make himself manifest. And so Jesus was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not a trinity. Not a two-ness. But a real truth, one true and living God. He then had a body that he could walk in. So he fellowshiped with a group of people and stayed with them for his life, 33 years. But it still wasn't a finish. Because he knew that he was going to have to give up that life that was within him. He knew that he was going to have to die, right? Are you listening? Jesus knew he was going to die. All right, listen to what I'm saying. If he knew he was going to die, what was he going to do? Because he was going to lose the body because the soul and the spirit and the being and all that of Almighty God couldn't die. Right? God can't die. Come on, I'm with you. Because you're dividing him up. But when he made that possible by living in that human element, Brother Brown said it made the three a triunity, not a trinity. Not three persons. One person manifested in three manifestations. One person manifested in many, many forms. Don't you think it was probably getting pretty strong long about him last few days? When he seen that even all that he had done seems to have been worth nothing. Because they were just running from him, and he told Peter, he said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Oh, Peter, no, I won't. I'll be there. I'll fight for you to the end. He meant it physically. It's for right there. He'd have fought because he'd done it. He tried it. Quick as they come and tried to pick him up in the garden, who happened what? What did Peter do? Grabbed a sword, whacked off a guy's ear. He was fighting. because it hadn't dawned on him what was taking place. But when Jesus said, give me that sword, if you take the sword, you'll die by the sword. Then Peter began to realize, this man is going to die. But he didn't know the story of how that, what it was made to where that would be the only way he could ever get salvation. He had the anointing. He had the anointing of the Spirit. He had the gifts. He had the things. Right? But he began to realize something's going to take place. Because this man is talking about dying. And now I realize it's physical. Because why didn't he grab a sword and start slinging? Peter began to realize. But he also seen his master say, leave it alone. This is all the plan of God to be made manifest. I've got to go to Calvary. I've got to give my life. Because that's the only way you can get eternal life, Peter. But it's also the only way that I'll have a body. Because I'm going to have to give up this one. I'm going to have to exit this body. Well, that's literally all he done. Jesus never died. You want a quote from the prophet? Jesus didn't die. And he ain't talking about the Father, Son. He's talking about Jesus never died. He gave up his life. He exited the body himself. He went out. He didn't. He died himself. He gave his own life. Because he knew the story, that was the only way to bring to the finality of what he come to do. And that he was going to have a body. What if he had had a little time that he'd been able to sit down with Peter and the 12 and, you know, and all of them and start explaining what was taking place? But he couldn't do it. All done finished. He had tried to explain it throughout his life and in the ministry and things, but he couldn't do it. But Jesus was simply saying, I'm doing this to bring forth the body. I'm going away, but I'm coming back. Well, they was expecting him physically to come back. Right? But he wasn't talking about physically coming back. He was talking about coming back in spirit form to dwell in them, to make them his offspring. To give eternal life. See, a body. You realize on the day of Pentecost it provided him a body. How many of you want on knees? Notice now. He is the head of the body that's born from the sin of unbelief. He is the head of the church, which is his body. And he wants the preeminence. Listen now. Listen close while we're what? He is to be the head of the body, his bride's body, which is taken from him, flesh and blood, like in Adam. How much were you on? As the head was took from the grave, so must the body follow him. Where the head goes, truly the body is going. The bridegroom, the bride being the body of the bridegroom. And some of you have these. You've got all of them. And the rest of them, if you want them, I'll be glad to run you some. Because I'll run a good many for this afternoon because I want to get into something else. Because you see, if we don't get this right about the body of Christ and the doings and the salvation and the point, then how in the world can you talk about a bride being the fullness of the Godhead bodily? Brother Branham said she was. Well, I can't believe it. Well, then, okay. If you can't believe it, then you won't be a part of it. Oh, you'll be a Luther, you'll be a Wesley, you'll be a Pentecostal. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't come forth. It's the end time bride that will come forth. Yeah. So he had a body in Jesus Christ, but he wants a body to live in. The stature of a perfect man. Right? The stature of a perfect man is the body of Christ. He's the head. Huh? Somebody's going to walk those steps until they can come into the position. And God's going to come and take us out of this. But are we going to be willing to do and to fight what has to be done? Or what are we going to do? Are we going to be scared to death when things start happening and they start closing down on us and whatever they decide to do? And I ain't talking about tribulation. That's what I'm talking about to you. We've got a pre-tribulation. The bride don't go through the tribulation, but she goes through a pre-tribulation. Brother Branham says, Israel will be getting their message. While the church is getting persecution. I ain't going to try to explain what he said. I'm just saying what he said. He said they'll get there while they're getting their message. Tribulation is going to set in over here. And work its way to Israel. Then the great tribulation strikes Israel. See, that's why you can't understand that 7 3.5. People can't follow what the prophet is saying. But they can't follow it with one thing. He's told us over and over, we're not to be in the tribulation. But he's told us over and over we'd be at the mercy of the elements. But see, they don't look at a pre-tribulation. You see, as the bride begins to realize who she is and what's taking place, then the body of God is being formed on earth. Getting ready. You think he's going to run off and leave us? When he spent all of this time trying to get us to come to that place, come on, musician. Where he can come to a place that they can... That he can manifest himself in us. I hope you're listening. I've got the notes for whatever you want to read them of all the prophet told about how that Jesus was the body of Almighty God. Well, that don't make a Trinitarian point. That makes the one true and living God to be in reality. That Jesus was Almighty God. All God was, he poured into Christ. But see, then we fail to follow the other of all Christ is poured into the church. Do we realize that things is taking place that ought to be setting our hearts on fire? Getting ready to get out of here. I don't want to stay in this old world. I don't know about you. I mean, man, I'm 80 years old, but that still ain't it. I've enjoyed my life. I've had a wonderful life that I could live for God. But I want to get out of here. I want to leave. What about you? Let's stand together. Think on these things. We'll get back to it this afternoon on the Godhead. The bride will wind up being the Godhead bodily, or there's not going to be a taking her out of here. But I just don't believe we can do it. Well, then, all right. Go ahead, brother.
I'll sing that chorus, All Hail King Jesus.
All hail King Jesus. All hail.
How do you
you see God. If you understand what I tried to say today, He's not complete without you and me. The rest of the story has got to be written. We're in that. We're in the white woman in the White House. We're in the airplanes, the jets, the things. The flying saucers and all. We're in that. And I don't believe it. Well, all right.
I talked to her the other day. I talked to your mom the other day a little bit.
Oh, hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him, and forevermore I will reign with Him. Oh, hail King Jesus.
Sister Milka's been having trouble with headaches and things for a couple of weeks. Pray that the Lord will touch her. Take away these things. Because we believe it. Anybody else that have a need?
And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him.
You say, well, Brother Dale, I don't understand you. What do you mean? We are the body of Christ. Without us, He has nobody. Remember the prophet in the message, lean not to your own understanding. He said the bride, that God is not complete without you. We get to that fullness of the Godhead bodily, you'll see why. He couldn't do it in Luther's name. There was no way the Word could be birthed. But we have had the message.
Eternity.
You have a need.
I'm going to praise Him. And forevermore I will reign.
Father, we thank You. We pray that what we said, Lord, would be enough for the people to understand what we're trying to talk about. Talk about You and Your plan and Your purpose to make Yourself manifest. Bringing Yourself so real among us until we can see You. The prophet said we would actually be changed because that we see Your Word. We love You and thank You. Be with us. Keep us this afternoon. Help us to bring forth what You'd give to us, Lord, because we want to see You. And guide us in Your love in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
All right.